Today's reading is taken in Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and the giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins.
Amen. Thank you so much, Aaron and Olivia and the band, and just for you guys being here. It's so wonderful to be able to meet together in this way. Welcome. And welcome to Mike and Ellie. Mike was saying as he just came in and just made it back in time for the big match tonight, although that was the date of them arriving was much planned, and I don't know any of us a week ago would have expected to be at this point. In fact, I remember watching with some friends the quarterfinals. That was last Saturday night, and I had three moments I absolutely loved in the quarterfinals. So there was Saka's goal that equalized it when we kind of thought we were going out, and then he managed to put one in the net. There was that kind of penalty shootout. Do you remember that if you were watching it? Don't know if you're an English fan. Don't worry if you're not. The Lord loves you. And, and Saka had missed the key penalty a while back. Don't expect everyone here knew that, but he did. And it felt like it was a really kind of critical moment, him scoring that penalty. And then, and I think this was my most favorite bit, he was named player of the match, and he did an interview afterwards. And in it, he talked about, you know, how he played, but then he talked about his life, and he said, "I have faith in God." And Bukayo Saka is known for his Christian faith. And interestingly, the pundits afterwards picked up on the way he played. And they said he brings something special to the team, on and off the pitch. He brings something special to the team, something different, on and off the pitch. They could see something about him. You know, last week as Tim was opening up that powerful bit at the beginning of Colossians 1, and just we sensed something amazing that kind of God was doing as we gathered together, and he talked about how there are treasures in heaven that are for us now. For Saka on a football pitch or in the locker room, for those in the NHS as we were praying for you earlier in the midst of your work, for those in education, teachers and kids, there's treasures of heaven for you this week. And for whatever your Monday morning looks like, there are resources of heaven that God has for you. For Monday morning and for Friday night, whatever you do to rest and relax. You know, God's longing is there would be something distinctive about our lives, as it were, on and off the pitch, in private and in public. Penny's picture is so apt, and her word about that prayer to love God more dearly and follow him more nearly. You know, that's the heartbeat, really, of this message, that we would become more like Jesus. My longing for my life, for your life, that we would become more like Jesus. You know, my dad wrote a very little book on Colossians. I think it's more just some of his messages when he was speaking through it, but I found it real blessing to go back to it and remember him speaking on Colossians at different points as I was growing up. And he talks about there's two changes that this good news that Tim was speaking about last week, this good news that the Bible calls the gospel, that's what that word means, brings into our lives. It brings an invisible change and a visible change. And this morning, as we go through Colossians 1, 9 to 14, we're going to be thinking about both of those things. But right at the start, I have a question for you. What do you long for in your life? What do you long for in your life? What do you long for in the lives of those you know and love? Maybe your kids or your friends or your family, your neighbors. What do you long for in your life? I wonder if you pray, what do you pray for? What do you pray for? There's sometimes a connection, isn't there? What we long for and what we pray for. Wonder what you pray for those you know and those you don't. Well, our passage today is almost entirely a prayer. It's a prayer that Paul is praying for those in Colossae, those that his friend Epaphras, who he knew well, and Epaphras had heard about the good news of Jesus through him, but Epaphras had then gone back to his hometown, Colossae, and shared with them the good news of Jesus. And Paul is actually writing to them from Ephesus, where he is in prison, and he's writing to the Christians in Colossae and saying, look, I've never met you. He says that at the start. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, he heard about them, he's not met them. And yet when I heard about you, he says, I've not stopped praying for you. He has been praying for them. And we're going to look this morning at what he's been praying for them and how we can learn from that. We recently did a whole series on the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray and how we can learn from the prayer of Jesus. And there are other great prayers in the Bible as well that we can learn from, some wonderful prayers of Paul's. And I encourage you, learn them too, and they can inspire your prayer. In fact, Rosella, she was praying for those in education. She literally just prayed a lot of this prayer. And I've been doing the same, Rosella. This week, I think she's gone out to the youth now, but I've been taking this prayer and kind of saying, Lord, would you do this? I'm praying this prayer. I'm praying it for you today. Been praying it over and over for you here. I've been praying it over and over for those in my family, and I'm thinking, God, this is so helpful. I find it so helpful to take and learn the prayers of others. In fact, I've actually been trying to memorize this prayer, just like many of us memorize the Lord's Prayer. And I'd encourage you, if you're young or old, why not try this summer to learn as much of Colossians 1 as you can. Last week, some amazing bits of it. Next week, there's some just amazing bits. This week, just such helpful stuff to learn. And you might think, oh, I could never do that. Why not give it a go? You'll never know until you do. And one way to learn stuff is just use it over and again. Why not use this prayer? What is God's will for our lives? That's the kind of title of our passage and our time this morning, discovering God's will for your life. I wonder what you think God's will is for your life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Full of what? What do you think life to the full looks like? Well, our series is called Simply Jesus. As we look at this wonderful book of Colossians, and maybe there's a clue in there of what maybe life to the full might be like. And I've been really helped recently reading a book by John Mark Comer called Practicing the Way. And in it, he talks about a number of things and in terms of us learning the way of Jesus. And he encourages us to be with Jesus, to become like him, and to do as he did. And I found those points really helpful, and I want to just draw off a couple of them as we press in to this passage together. So first, being with Jesus. What fills our lives? What fills your life? What fills the lives of those you love? What do you long to fill the lives of those you love? What would you like to see? What are you praying would fill their lives? Paul starts his prayer in verse 9 and says, we have not stopped asking for you and asking God to fill you with a knowledge of his will. That is what Paul is praying for them, to fill them with the knowledge of his will. What a great thing to pray for our young people and our kids away at the moment. What a great thing for you to be praying for those you love. I'm praying it for you, that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will. And maybe you're thinking, well, great, I want to know that. How do I be filled with the knowledge of God's will? Well, Paul goes on and he says this, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You want to be full of a knowledge of God's will? You need to be full of all wisdom and understanding. This is a massive theme. There's amazing books of wisdom and things in the Bible that teach us about God and what he's like and his law. And that's how we can know a wise way to live. And in fact, in Colossians 2, verse 3, Paul is going to say, in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so actually, you know, the word of God, which centers on the person of Jesus, is so key to us being full of wisdom and understanding. But you might think, well, how can I know more of this Jesus and more of God's word? Well, Paul goes on and he says this, I keep asking that you be filled with the knowledge of God through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. The Spirit is key to our being full of the knowledge of God's will, full of all wisdom and full of the Spirit. Because the Spirit, as Jesus said in his amazing kind of teaching on the Spirit in John 14, he says, the Spirit will remind you of everything I've said and teach you in the way you should go. The Spirit takes from what is Jesus and it helps us know him and know his way. And so you and I, as we were thinking at the end of last week, we need to be full of God's Spirit. What are you full of? What is going on in your life? And how is that making a difference to your life? You know, what we're filled with impacts the kind of life we live. You think about that just from in terms of you, what you eat. I don't know if you ever saw or heard about the film. I never saw it, couldn't quite stomach it, to be honest. The film kind of supersized me, about someone who just ordered loads of supersized meals and the effect that had on their life and on their health and what they look like. And it makes a difference what we eat. But maybe it makes even more of a difference what we fill not just our lives and our stomachs with, but what we fill our minds with, what we fill our hearts with. What is filling your heart and your mind? You know, not just what is filling your diary, although often what fills our diary does affect what fills our hearts and minds. There's a connection as well there often. But Paul says he's longing for our lives to be filled with these kinds of things, because what happens invisibly in our lives will spill out visibly. I don't know, I've got a cup here. And, sometimes you can think, oh, well, no one's quite noticed what's going to fill my life with. Here we go. See what you think this is filled with, water or something else? Something else. Actually, blackcurrant, very nice. But, you know, what you're filling your life with, even in private, you might think, well, no one's noticing. But it probably is visible to those around you. And you might think, well, David, I would love my life to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and understanding, with more of God's Spirit. Well, have you asked God? Have you asked him to do that for you and for those you love? Have you been praying, God, would you do that? And often that it requires a kind of emptying. Saying, God, well, I don't want juice in there. Would you fill it with water or whatever it is? You know, whatever. Are you praying? I've just been reflecting on this. And, you know, I often end up boiling a kettle and it often needs filling. So I fill it and then I fill up a mug. And I've just found myself thinking, I could be using these little prompts to remind me to pray for myself and those I love for a filling of God, of the knowledge of God, of his will, of wisdom, of the Spirit particularly. God, would you use things in my life to prompt me and you. So why not next time you go fill a kettle or a cup for tea, coffee, probably do it even later today, why not just pray, God, would you fill me and would you fill those I love? You know, Paul goes on and he says this amazing prayer, and this is maybe the nub. He prays these things that would be filled so that something beautiful and wonderful would appear in their life. He says this, I pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. Get a load of that. In every way. For your life and my life to please Jesus. That is my longing. That's my prayer for you and for me, for my kids and your kids, for the next generation, for others in the city, that we would live lives worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way. And you might think, well, how is that possible? In every way, is that really possible? And actually, Dick Lucas said something really helpful about this in his commentary. He said, there is no conceivable way for anyone to reach verse 10, which is living a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way, except through verse 9. We have to be filled with the Spirit and with wisdom and knowledge and with the knowledge of God's will. We have to have those things in order to live that life. And as we then are filled with those things, God makes our lives transformed to bear fruit that looks like Jesus, because God's will for us is that we live lives worthy of him, pleasing him in every way, and those are lives that look like Jesus. So that's the second and last thing I want us to see this morning. Not just being with Jesus and filling our lives with him and with his Spirit and with his word, but becoming like Jesus. And that causes us to think, what's the fruit in our lives? What's the fruit in your life? Often what we fill our lives with will impact what the fruit of our lives is. And Paul goes on here, he talks about some amazingly beautiful things about God's will for our lives. And you know, we often get caught up about what is God's will for us. Should we do this job or that job? Should we live here or there? Should we buy this car or that car or maybe a bicycle or maybe a rail ticket? What is God's will for our lives? Should we go here or there? Should we be in this relationship or that one, or what things should we commit to? And you know, when the Bible speaks about God's will for your life and my life, it hardly talks about that stuff at all. What it talks about is the kind of person you will be in this house or that house, in this job or that job, in this relationship or that one. God's purposes for life are for our lives to be those that in whatever situation, some of these things are the things that are kind of being born out in our lives, things that make us lives look like Jesus. So I'm just going to go through these fairly fast. So it goes on in Colossians 1. He says that we might please the Lord in every way. And then he kind of, there's a colon, I'm not very good at grammar, but then he kind of lists four things. And he kind of wants them to bear fruit in every good work. So he wants us to have a fruitful life doing good. And I was just thinking about this, thinking there is so much, like Olivia was saying, good that is done through this church. And that's just the stuff that maybe that you know about. There's all kinds of hidden things. People who showed love for their neighbor or their others, or acts of service done in secret. You know, if we hadn't shown that picture on the screen, you might not have known that people were away serving our kids this weekend. And, you know, I was chatting to Tina, our new CAP Center manager, and just hearing about how she was just sitting with someone this week. I was really moved trying to prepare them for when the bailiffs come round, listening and talking to them and trying to do what she could so they wouldn't, but trying to help them be prepared when they do. You know, I was chatting to Steve this week. I've not really taken this on board, but I know on Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, our hall is now full of people for this kind of past month and for a few more weeks. Because First Base, which is Brighton Housing Trust's first place that they send people who are homeless in our city to, their place is being renovated. And so they are using our hall. Have been for the last month. Our hall is the first place of call for people who are homeless in our city at the moment. And I was thinking about those who clean it and those who have helped fix things in it, and the many people who volunteered, Chaz, what you do, in and out, Phil, what you do, just helping Steve make these places work so that they can be spaces that are used to bless others. And I think of all the things that go on, a fruitful life that bears good and does good. When you do good, the ripples of it are far more than you can imagine. Do good to your neighbor. Do good to those you work with. Do good to your kids or the kids of your sort of relatives or whatever. Just look for opportunities to do good. May our lives be fruitful. God takes and uses that. You know what was said about Jesus in Acts 10, verse 38? It basically says, when Paul is summarizing his life, he said how, you know, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And this, I love this, and how he went around doing good. Brothers and sisters, let's be more like Jesus. Let's go around doing good. And yes, let's pray that God would work in power. So, a fruitful life, doing good. Next, it says, bearing fruit in every way, growing in the knowledge of God. This growing life. You know, I think about who maybe here has known God the longest. And I know there's far, far more of God for you to know. I think about what I long for my kids. And I'm thrilled Laura and I are when they start asking questions about God that just take them deeper, because there's so much more for them to know about God. So much more for, you know, us who preach to know about God. That's one of the exciting things about getting into his word and studying it, because I want us to know God more. Are you praying that you and others you know and love would know God more? Growing in the knowledge of God. And then a powerful life. I love, this is an amazing verse. Listen to this. He prays that we would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. I mean, that is amazing prayer to pray, that we'd be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. I mean, you think, what kind of things is he going to be praying that we'd be able to do with that all power according to God's glorious might? And do you want to know what his purpose is for this powerful life? He goes on and says this. He says, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you would have great endurance and patience. God wants to give you power to endure and be patient. Wow. I mean, that seems like quite a kind of ordinary thing to have great, extraordinary power for. But think about it for a moment. Could it be that what you need in your Christian life, in your relationships, I don't know, in your marriage maybe, or your relationship with those around you, maybe in shining for Christ at work, what you need is actually not some amazing, brilliant thing to say, or not some amazing kind of bonus or, you know, gift or money. We often think, you know, our marriage is going to get better if we had a better house or a better this or if this is it. And you know what, actually? What we really need is often not what we think we need. What we really need is endurance and patience. Endurance and patience. Those things make such a difference to how relationships work. Endurance and patience. You know, when Paul does this amazing thing, I've had it read at weddings I've been to and done time and again, love is patient is the first thing that Paul writes about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Patience, brothers and sisters, it's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. It's so needed in your life and my life. And we can't do it without God's help. It is a fruit of the Spirit. We need his power. He can strengthen you with all power according to his glorious might to give you endurance and patience. In fact, it says that you might have great endurance. And you and I are going to need it, because it increasingly is hard to be a Christian. And you know, actually one of the things that Bukayo Saka was kind of saying about having faith in God is because of it, they were going to say, how do you cope with it all? Because I tell you what, he got so much flack that last time when he missed the penalty. So much abuse. And that thing of how do we cope with the storms? How do we cope with the persecution? How do we cope when we feel at the end of ourselves, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, that you might have great endurance and patience? That is what success looks like so often. We think it might look like something else, but endurance and patience. May God give you endurance and patience in whatever you're facing in life, to keep trusting him, and to keep, it then goes on in this last thing. And he goes on and he says this. He says, and joyfully giving thanks. It's possible to endure patiently and be like, oh, this is so hard. Can't believe it, God. I'm so grumpy. And yet, actually, one of the key things that signals that we're a Christian is this fruit of thankfulness. An overflowing thankfulness because God has done such amazing things for us. He says, overflowing with thankfulness, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints or the inheritance of all God's holy people. That, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. That's the good news. That's the gospel, that God has rescued us because of Jesus. He has qualified us. You are qualified, not just to do the job you're doing or to do the role you're doing. You are qualified to be with God forever and have an inheritance in the kingdom of light. How cool is that? You might think, I don't know if I've got that. What do I need to do to get that? Well, you need to believe in Jesus because he's the one who's done it for you. He's the one who has taken us and rescued us from the dominion of darkness and who's brought us into his kingdom, the kingdom of the Son he loves. This wonderful kind of reminder of when God spoke at Jesus' baptism and brought kind of this word that you are my son whom I love and with you I'm well pleased, and you and I get to be brought into this kingdom where actually what's speaking over Christ is spoken over you. You are loved in Christ. And God is well pleased with you. That's the kingdom we're in, the kingdom that transforms our lives to be a joyful, thankful, happy people. It's thankfulness spilling out of your life. Or maybe you've forgotten, or maybe never knew how wonderful is what Jesus has done for you. You know, N.T. Wright, in his great little commentary on this book, he says this, why gratefully? Because the climax of Paul's prayer is that the young Christians will learn the art of thanksgiving. He will, in fact, mention this over and over again. It's a central theme of the whole letter. What Paul most wants to see growing in the church as a sign of healthy Christian life on their way to maturity is gratitude for God for the extraordinary things he's done in Jesus and the remarkable things he's continuing to do in the world and in their lives. God wants us to see what Jesus has done, that he's done these amazing invisible things, qualifying you and rescuing you, and then that to shape the visible in your life. As my dad says in his little book, he says this, it's important to realize that when the gospel invades your life, this good news about Jesus, when the gospel is understood and believed and embraced, the first thing that happens is a set of absolutely incredible, invisible changes. Changes in our identity and our destiny, like the year 5s and 6s have been learning about. And that results in changes in our outward life and behavior. That's the way the gospel changed the community in Corinth. That's the way the gospel changed Ephesus. That's the way the gospel changed me. That is the transforming power of the gospel. God wants your life to be a fruitful life, a life where you discover that in Jesus, he has done remarkable things for you and for me. He has changed us by his power. And that springboards It springboards Paul into this amazing description then of what Jesus has done. He kind of starts it here in verse 14. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You know, they said of Saka, the pundits, oh, he redeemed himself with the goal. Well, we sometimes use that language, but actually we can't redeem ourselves from all the wrong things we've done. Only Jesus, our Redeemer, redeems, pays for the wrong we've done, forgives our sin, mine and yours. Do you know him? Do you believe him? Do you need to come again and thank him and receive a filling of his spirit to help us live that fruitful life? I'm just going to invite the band to come back up. We're going to bow our heads and just a moment to be still, to invite the Holy Spirit to come. I wonder, just in the stillness, maybe just think again, what are you filling your life with at the moment? What is the fruit in your life? Maybe you need to turn from something, be emptied of something, so that you can be filled afresh or for the first time with God and His Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here this morning and with every head bowed, you're hearing about this being qualified and rescued, and you're thinking, I don't know if that's me. Well, I want to invite you this morning to put your trust in Jesus, to just in the quietness of your heart, just say, Jesus, Jesus, I believe in you. I want you to rescue me. I want to be in your kingdom of light. I turn from the darkness. I turn to you. Maybe you've prayed that just now or prayed that in the past. Maybe just even now, just come and say, God, would you fill me now with your Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Fresh filling. Lord, that we might live lives worthy of you, pleasing you in every way. Come, we pray.